Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Hey, shalom, shalom. Grace and peace, family. Grace and peace.
Shalom.
Hey, shalom, sis.
Shalom.
Hey, shalom, Mr. Wright. Shalom, Brother Job. I hope everybody is having a great day today. All praise to the Father. Feel good to be back. Even after a tragic accident, but the Father is merciful. Amen, amen, amen. I'm sorry, what was that?
Who had an accident?
Oh, I did. I called myself Top Chef and proved myself wrong.
Mm.
got my finger caught in some cooking grease.
Ooh, how that feels.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was talking about, you know, oh, my goodness. That pain was almost as worse as a toothache. You know, toothache ain't nothing to play around with, but you know.
I know.
Man, tell me about it. Oh, my gosh. I'm talking about I had to keep ice on my finger at all times, you know, like the ice in the bag and stuff or wrapped up in like a towel or something. You know, the pain stopped then, but as soon as that ice went down, it was throbbing. But, you know, it swelled up into a bubble. So it was almost popping season for the boil or whatever. But I'm going to let it pop on its own. But it feels good now. I feel absolutely no pain. So I thank God for that, for it to heal up so soon. It just got to wait for the leak. But hey, it's all good, you know. Could have been anything. But amen, amen. How everybody doing today? How everybody's doing?
We're doing fine.
I am.
Blessed. Hey, bro. Last day of the feast,
yes.
Man. It was a great week. You know, hey, I can't say anything more, man. You know, it's a blessed week. Big time
right.
For me, so.
Amen.
Amen.
All praise to the Father, man. One of these days, man, who knows, maybe God willing, next year, I'll be tuning in with y'all. With the grace of God. Lord willing, we live.
God willing, we live. God willing,
amen. All y'all in the background, I'm all the way over here. But you know it's all good. Before we get started, do I have a reader for tonight?
Yes.
Hey, what's up, Brother McCone?
Tawab, everything's good. Tawab.
Amen, bro. Good to hear your voice, man. All praises. All right, family, grace and peace. I feel like forever since I've been on, so I just want to make sure everybody good, you know, things going well. The Father's verse, I'm glad y'all doing all right. But grace and peace, family, my name is Brother Isaiah, and I'll bring a lesson tonight, and my reader tonight is Brother McCone, a.k.a. Lil Israel, a.k.a. the Preacherholic, my favorite. You know, the Father, you know, this precept that we're dealing with tonight, it's called a fool, you know? And during this lesson, I think we have to understand what a fool is, you know, and how to identify a fool, or even a self-check of yourself if you've been foolish or you do, you know, or, you know, you might be considered yourself a fool too. I mean, it's just a whole bunch of areas we're going to look in the Bible on how to identify a fool, how not to waste your time with a fool, you know what I'm saying, and do
Amen.
A self-check with yourself. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, this is what the precept is about, you know, how to identify a fool. And, you know, and definitely also the ones who is in the truth too, you know, because we can be as foolish as well, because we're going to look at a lot of things according to the scriptures that deal with foolish things, a fool, how to identify a fool, what a fool do. But the same point in time is how to observe a fool by not calling one a fool. You know, it's just like a false prophet. You know, the book tells us about a false prophet, you know, but it showed us how to identify one. And this precept tonight is going to show us how to identify a fool. So just in case if we ain't ignorant, you know, we can look through it and check out to see. We can do a self-check with ourselves. And definitely the people we're with, we're around, or the people that we call friends or family, or even the people at work. Because one thing that really caught my attention is that if you want peace, you got to separate yourself from the people that bring madness, you know. But another thing, too, is that if you want to enjoy peace, have a positive mindset, you got to stay away from fools, too. You know, so this precept is just showing us how to identify a fool. Amen. So I'm going to start us out in the Lord's Prayer, and then Brother McCombie will read whatever the Father put on his heart. So I'm going to ask all the sisters to please cover your head and ask all the brothers to please uncover your head. And if possible, let's face east towards Jerusalem and let's pray in. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thine will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The beginning of pride is when one departed from God, and his heart is turned away from his Maker. For pride is the beginning of sin, and he that hath it shall pour out abomination. And therefore the Lord brought upon them strange calamities, and overthrew them utterly. The Lord hath cast down the thrones of proud princes, and set up the meek in their stead. The Lord hath plucked up the root of the proud nations, and planted the lowly in their place. The Lord overthrew countries of the heathen, and destroyed them to the foundations of the earth. He took some of them away, and destroyed them, and hath made their memorial to cease from the earth. The pride was not made for men, nor furious anger for them that are born of women. They that fear the Lord are a sure seed, and they that love him are honorable plant. They that regard not the law are a dishonorable seed. They that transgress the commandments are a deceivable seed. Among brethren, he that is chief is honorable. So are they that fear the Lord in his eyes. The fear of the Lord goeth before the obtaining of authority, but roughness and pride is the losing thereof. I have read Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 12 through 21. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I can't wait until I get to that part in Apophica. Good reading, bro. Thank you for bringing that script. Well, as usual on the Bible Blog Talk Show, the Spirit of Meekness and Charity, it's time for us to take these scriptures off the streets. You know, pure razor blades and images. And it's one thing I really want to talk about, man. You know, the Bible is so thorough on watching people's behaviors, you know, and how to be less talkative, you know, definitely being around, you know, like really people. Hold on a second. You know, the Lord really been showing me some things, about, you know, how important it is not to talk, you know, and just to observe yourself. I mean, observe the people around you, excuse me. You know, because people will really real talk, give you their whole lifestyle, what they about, what they do. They even show you if they're a fool or not, just by a person's conversation. You know, because if you just quiet going out about, you know, and you just listen to people's conversations, they're actually telling you their lifestyle. They're telling you their story. They're giving you a full-blown summary of who they are and what they're about. You know, that's a lot of things I've been seeing, just living. That's the things I've seen, you know. Observing conversations and people's behaviors. And if you're more, and if you're very cautious, you can even see the spirit on them. You know, but today we're dealing with a fool. Through the conversation, you can tell if a person's a fool or not. Not calling him one or her one, by just simply listening to a conversation, you can tell who's a fool and who's not. This ain't talking about you judging them and you not being merciful with them, but at all, the Lord is showing you at that moment who you're dealing with. But before we get into the precept, we have to go into the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, so we can understand that we are surrounded around people like this and what to say and what not to say when you approach this matter. So we're in the book of Matthew chapter 5, and all we want is verse 22.
Matthew chapter 5, 22?
Yes, sir.
But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire.
So this is Jesus Christ in the flesh telling us himself, you know, don't say these things. And in case you don't know the word Raca means, Raca is just another word for worthless. Don't be calling nobody worthless, because as long as you're alive, you still got a chance to make him the God's kingdom. You know, just like the metaphor, a live dog is better than a dead lion. And when you break that metaphor down, if you have a dog and a lion, we all know if they both was in the cage and the lion is healthy, the dog ain't nothing but a meal. But if the dog was fighting against the lion and the lion ended up down for whatever reason, then the dog is victorious. So we don't know. As long as you're still alive, you still have a chance to turn your ways around, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus, and be a prisoner of hope. But the Lord is telling us that I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, which is worthless, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. You know, so if you call yourself a servant of God, we need to take heed to this scripture we just read in verse 22 to make sure that we don't call people these things, but be wise enough to observe to see if you're surrounded by these things. See if you're around somebody that's worthless, but don't call them worthless. Identify and see if you're around a fool, but don't call him a fool. Observe and be wise enough to make the righteous call. So since we understand that the Bible said not to call no man worthless or call him a fool or be angry at your brother without a cause, so now we have the blueprint. Don't call the people this. But now let's put the blueprint together and build this story up. So now what we're going to do now is go into the book of Proverbs chapter 18. The book of Proverbs, chapter 18, and all we want is verses 1 and verses 2.
Proverbs 18 and 1.
Yes, sir.
Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermitteth with all wisdom. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself.
So that's the very first thing that you can find out during the conversation, because you know if you call yourself a servant of God, eventually book will come out. We can't help it. It's a part of our life. You know, no matter how many times we try to twinkle our feet together, sweating, you know, just trying to be calm, cool, and collect, scripts will come out because that's what we feel with. We feel with the word of God. And through the grace of God, he keeps filling us up. So, but what I'm getting at is this right here. You know, do a conversation with a brother or sister or somebody in the streets, whatever, you will be able to prove to see if they delight in understanding or not. Because the book said, a fool have no delight in understanding. So when you start talking about things that's positive or talking about things that can help the people or scripture-wise, they're going to show you that they don't care, or they might show you that they do care. Because there's a couple of times I had conversations with brothers and sisters and stuff like that. You know, not saying that you bothering them or being their shadow, just stalking them. We don't do stuff like that. But the same point in time is that, you know, I had this conversation once. You know, it was a real positive conversation. The person got angry and said they didn't want to hear that mess. You know, this one person talking about the Egyptians and all of this other kind of stuff. And I said, well, you know, according to scriptures, Egyptians are a dark-skinned race of people. They didn't want to hear that mess or anything to that matter. So instead of me calling that person a fool, I understand what the scriptures say, a fool hath no delight in understanding. They don't want to have this kind of understanding. But their minds may discover itself, the things that entertains them. They want to find out more about that and be about their own life than according to the scriptures on finding understanding according to the book. So this is one of the ways that you can identify a fool, because they will have absolutely no delight in understanding. Let's look deeper into this delight not of understanding. Let's go into the book of Proverbs chapter 1. Let's look at the things they do not delight in. The book of Proverbs chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 2 through 7. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment in equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
That's right. So as we so when we out and about or doing whatever, you know, or when you're dealing with the book, if they approve to you if they are fools. Because once you start talking about wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and instructions, and judgment, and equity, which means learning how to balance yourself, or subtlety, which means skill, discretion, you know what I'm saying, caution, you know, you might not want to do that. You might want to be cautious on that. Then they're going to tell you how they feel about this conversation. Or if you got their book out, you're trying to show somebody something, they will prove to you what they feel about what you're telling them. But according to the scriptures, it says that, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So it's best for us to understand who a fool is, so we're not wasting our time or put ourselves in danger. Surround yourself around fools, or even get close to fools. We shouldn't be doing that, because later on in this lesson, we're going to find out why a fool is dangerous to be around. But if you see that they don't desire wisdom, knowledge, or understanding, then don't waste your time and separate yourself from that person. But let's look at a more of a perfect and a great understanding. Let's go to the book of Micah chapter 6. Because we talking about really people, but believe it or not, we can also talk about those who know the truth. Because, you know, we so bent up out of shape on this knowledge thing, it's like we forget that the Bible talk about other stuff. We could be foolish on that part, too, to understand what it really means for a fool to hate instructions. Because we're going to read out some more instructions right now. In the book of Micah, chapter 6, and all we want is verse 8. So we get a better understanding on this matter right here. We're in the book of Micah, chapter 6, and all we want is verse 8. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Micah 6 and 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doeth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God.
But the thing about this is that, you know, we talk about the really people for a quick second already, but at the same point in time is we need to be aware of foolish people who know the truth. It's because you can't bang knowledge and think knowledge is the only thing that's going to get you into the kingdom. But in actuality, the Lord is telling us already, I've showed you what is good. What is good? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humble before thy God. This can be a tough walk for a lot of brothers. And when you start talking about these things, like, for example, I don't even waste my time doing this anymore, but I was online talking to this brother, you know, about love and stuff like that. And, you know, that's one of the major things that God requires of his servants. I had the scriptures. It was from the Old and New Testament, but the brother refused in any way and called me a softball Hebrew. A softball Hebrew. Maybe, I guess, like a soft ass or something. You know. But those are God's instructions. To love mercy. Have compassion on people. Wish for good instead of always wish for evil. Stop always looking for the negative things and try to find something good. Those are God's instructions too. But the Bible says fools hate instructions. That could be us too. You can't call yourself a servant of God and just think just because you blast the knowledge, you all good and smooth. You got to come with the rest of these things too, like the fruits of that spirit. Because those fruits of spirit is going to be a ginormous part on if you make it into his kingdom or not. Because it seemed like we hate instructions too. And we hate instructions to the point that God is going to show us that we will not understand it. Because we hate it. We don't like it. We're not taking heed to his instructions. So what we're going to do next is go into the book of Psalms chapter 82. The book of Psalms chapter 82. Because a fool hates instructions, and we're dealing with our part, the ones who know the truth, to understand that this is just not talking about those that's walking in the streets. It's also talking about the ones who have an understanding and an ear to understand what's written in the pages of this book, but just not focusing on the things that's going to get you into the kingdom. So what are some other instructions that we take poorly on? Read the book of Psalms chapter 82, and we're going to read verses 2 through 5. Psalms 82, verses 2 through 5. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Psalms 82, starting at the 2. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked, Selah? Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course.
So if it say that all the earth, if all the foundations of the earth are out of course, it'll show you how many people really understand this thing. But we all know that we did win the last time, since the world is going to get even wicked and wicked and wicked and wicked. But what we have to look at is this right here. The book said a fool hates understanding. A fool hates knowledge. You know what I'm saying? So the book just said in verse 2, how long will you judge unjustly and accept the person of the wicked, say lie? And then it turned around and says in verse 3, defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. You know what I'm saying? So it's obvious if God called us gods. I honestly believe that verses 3 and verses 4 is giving us the keys on how to become right back gods. It's not the knowledge that we strive so much for. It's nothing wrong with knowledge. Don't get wrong on that. But we still need more to this picture than what's brought forth to us. Because I'm telling you to do these fruits of the Spirit and love one another and take care of the poor. You know what I'm saying? But verse 5 turned around and say, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. So when you look at verse 5, it says they know not. They don't know what. They do not understand or receive the instructions that you're supposed to defend for the poor. They know not that they're supposed to defend the poor and the fatherless. They know not that they're supposed to do justice to the afflicted and needy. They don't even know that they're supposed to deliver the poor and needy. They don't even know that they're supposed to rid them out of the hand of the wicked. These are the most important instructions that we need. But remember what the book say. The book say fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we need to also understand, too, when the book is talking about fools, we got to make sure we gird ourselves up, too. We got to as well. We got to make sure we're doing these things for the people. We got to make sure we're helping out the fathers and going and helping the widow or go out and beyond and be on a ball like Job did. Job said he caused a widow's heart to sing for joy. I would rather have that under my belt than all this massive knowledge that people was talking about. Or want to have 10 to 17 months on debates ain't going nowhere. Because the funny part about it is that when you talk about loving one another and supporting one another and doing good for one another, you don't really get too much attention on that. But if it's Esau or if it's fringes or if it's how many wives you can have or what skin color was Esau, you know what I'm saying, or we talk about the oppressor, when you come to Gentiles, best believe you're getting yourself 200 to 300 comments and about 1,000-something views off of what? Folly. But we know not, neither will we understand. We don't understand that this is the main key to the kingdom. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So if fools hate wisdom and instruction, what are they leaning to? Let's go in the book of Proverbs chapter 28. The book of Proverbs chapter 28, and we're going to read one verse, and that one verse will be verses 26. Proverbs 28 and 26. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Proverbs 28:26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered.
So we need to be careful. We really do. We really need to be careful. We got to make sure that we're not trusting in our own mind. Because if we trust in our own mind and things we're doing, then we are a fool. Why do you think the Lord is really stressing us on not going after our own mind? Because you will be considered a fool. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah chapter 17. Let's see if that'll give us the answer. The book of Jeremiah chapter 17. And all we want is verses 9. Jeremiah 17 and 9. When you get it, boo, go ahead and read.
Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Right. So, you know, so when you go back and piggy bank off of Proverbs 28 and 26, it says he who trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Why? Because the heart is deceitful above all things. and desperately wicked, who can know it? So this is why we need to take heed to the instructions according to the Bible and do our very best to do everything God asks us to do. Because if we just selective readers and going off of another man's understanding, then that means you're not going off of the Bible's understandings, but you lean it to another man's heart. And that also could be considered you a fool too. So what we have to do is make sure that we read the Bible for ourselves and make sure we get the instructions from the Most High God. But this is why if you trust in your own mind, you're a fool. Because ain't nothing good going on in our minds anyway. And the only reason why we doing through the grace of God, we're doing all right, is because the Bible stops a lot of folly that go on in our hearts. Not saying we're better than anybody, but God blessed us to follow him, to give us a chance to follow him. And if you keep standing in his book, that's going to stop us on a whole lot of folly, because all we go hear in our head is thou shalt not. But this is why you're a fool, because all our minds is jacked up. And the only way for us to mingle that junk down is through the word of God. But what if you're a fool and you hate instructions? Then I don't know what else to tell you. So if you take instructions according to the scriptures, because it's very important not to go off of your own heart. It's very important to know that your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Because if you're not aware of that, then how crazy do you think your mouth will go? How crazy would your mouth be when it comes to other people? Let's check this thing out too. Let's go into the book of Proverbs chapter 18. The book of Proverbs, chapter 18, and all we want is verse 7.
Proverbs 18 and 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul.
Hey. So we need to be careful of this, too. Make sure we're not doing this, and make sure you keep an eye on who's around you doing that. Because you need to be aware of who's a fool. You need to be aware of who's a fool. And according to the book of Proverbs 18 and 7, it says a fool's mouth is his destruction. So this is why you can't go off with your own thoughts in your heart. Because eventually you might start talking that madness in your mind. And that's why we need to take heed to Proverbs 28 and 26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. So be aware of the conversations. Be aware of yourself. Be aware of a fool. And let's go into the book of Proverbs chapter 10. The book of Proverbs chapter 10. And all we want is verses 23.
Proverbs 10:23. It is as sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom.
Amen. So in the top part it says, it is as sport to a fool to do mischief. Mischief is just another word for nonsense. Always on nonsense. So if you be aware of people's actions, people that's around you, you go see that nonsense, and you'll be able to tell if he's a fool or not. Not calling him one, but you'll be able to identify one through his nonsense. But the Lord wants us to depart from nonsense and follow something else. let's find out there's something else that we need to check out. Let's go into the book of Titus, chapter 3. Book of Titus, chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11. I will cut you off in that, Sarah. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Titus 3, starting at the 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to the work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another.
So but that's why that, when you read the book of, that's why in Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, when the Bible tells us, you know, don't call a man worthless or call him a fool, because the book said in verse 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Because you was once just like that. So you don't have the audacity or the gall or the power to call anybody anything. But be wise enough to know who you're around. Be wise enough to know who's a fool or who's not. Be aware of who's contentious. Be aware of the strife and debate. Not saying that you go point them out and go cuss them out and tell them what they are. Because you was like that once upon a time. So don't go out there and jack nobody up, but be aware. Go ahead and read.
Verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that
so
he that is...
So verse 10 just gave us some very juicy information. It said a man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition rejects. So don't just up and call somebody a fool just off of that. Stick around a couple more times. You know what I'm saying? See if you can talk some sense into them a couple of times. But then if you still see that they on that same matter as being foolish, then reject. I'm saying you hate them or talk bad about them, but just be smart and know that you need to separate yourself from that foolish person. Go ahead and read.
Verse 11. Knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself.
Amen. Now, let's go in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. The book of Proverbs, chapter 14. And we got a good one right here. Because remember we talked about peace too, about you know, being aware of who's a fool and how to identify fools so you're not friends or buddies with fools and be snared with your own words. It also gives you peace, you know what I'm saying, a good state of mind because you don't want nobody or that spirit around you anyway. But right now we're in the book of Proverbs chapter 14 and we're going to read verses 7 through 9. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Proverbs 14, starting at the 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor.
Hey. Go from the presence of a foolish man. Don't be stuck to him like glue. You don't see there's no knowledge in him. But the book did tell us to, you know, warn him a couple of times. But if you see that that's not working, then you depart. And now it just told us to go from the presence of a foolish man. When thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his ways, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. You know, so the Lord is always, I mean, this Bible is like, oh my goodness. You know, that's why, you know, that's why if you're going through anything in life, man, you know what I'm saying, if you're going through any trials or tribulations, or you're beat down and broken, man, God gave us a teacher. God gave us a psychologist. Because when you read this book, I was looking at this Gentile on this article. No, it wasn't an article, excuse me. It was just somebody on YouTube. You know, the man was using, you know, just breaking down how this world is. Didn't use an ounce of scriptures, but everything he was talking about was according to scriptures. And then turned around and said the exact same thing that I'm saying. That if you read the Bible, this is what this man said. If you read the Bible, it has an answer for everything. And I was like, amen. And if you sit back, you do. If you're lonely, you get scriptures for it. If you beat down and broken, the scriptures for it. If the wicked seem like they're having their way with you, the scriptures for it. So to be blessed to read this book and understand it is an amazing thing. It even teach you how to stay away from a foolish man, too, through this lesson tonight. Praise God. Now let's go to the book of Proverbs chapter 26. Because now we're going to really see why it's not good to be buddy-buddy or friends or with a pal with a foolish man. Because being around a foolish man can get you jacked up and get in trouble. But let's see if we can find this out in the scriptures. So what we're going to do now is go into the book of Proverbs chapter 26. The book of Proverbs chapter 26. And we're going to read verses 3 through 12. And I might cut you off on that, Brother Nakomi. The book of Proverbs 26, verses 3 through 12. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Proverbs 26, starting at the 3. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. The legs of the lame are not equal, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. As he that biteth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. The great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him.
So you see, the definition of being around a fool, or how you can just embarrass yourself and be a laughingstock, bringing the message of a fool, and breaking down these parables to show you how messed up a fool is. And to also to show us, to keep us on our toes, or we turning back to our folly. So to understand or not to turn back to your folly, we need to understand verse 11. It says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. So the Lord blessed us and strengthened us to stay away from our folly. It is not wise for us to go back to it because we consider a dog. And most part about it is you will be considered a fool. And then verse 12 is knock it all in the same dust. It says, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? And remember, conceit is another word for vain glory. There is more hope of a fool than of him. You know, a fool is terrible anyway, but I guess if you about yourself and with this vain glory, like you somebody special, I guess that you might be worse than a fool. But they're both not good. And we just need to take heed to this and take heed to make sure who you're surrounded around. Because the book already showed you the downfall of a fool. So let's be mindful of that. Now let's go into the book of Proverbs chapter 12. The book of Proverbs chapter 12. And we're going to read one verse, and that one verse will be verse 16.
Proverbs 12 and 16. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame.
Right, so if you look at verse 16, it said a fool's wrath is presently known because he's always talking. He's always talking and yapping. Be aware of that as well. Always talking and yapping and bumping their gums. Always. Always talking. Every time you see him, might be hear him all the way down the street or her talking. Always with some mess or some garbage. Angry at everything. You just identified yourself a fool. Why? Let's go to the book of Proverbs chapter 10. The book of Proverbs chapter 10. Now let's see why a foolish man yapping his mouth and talking is jacked up and we shouldn't be doing it and had identified. We're in the book of Proverbs chapter 10. And we in verse, and all we want is verse 19.
Proverbs 10 and 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise.
Because if you're always talking, sin is there. If you just keep yapping off at the mouth, eventually a lie might pop up. If you keep on talking, you might be talking too much and the enemy know your secret. You keep on yapping and talking, you can say, hey, ain't nothing good with that. Because if you're yapping and talking, you might end up being up under covenant. You might have said something that you said you was going to do and turn around and not be able to do it. Now you're a foolish man breaking vows. Let's check that out. This is the last spot. Let's check that out. Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And we're going to really see what we're going to really see what King Solomon was talking about with this talking. And we're going to read verses 1 through 7, and this will be last. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Ecclesiastes chapter 5, mm-hmm. starting at the 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also diverse vanities, but fear thou God.
Now, do you see how King Solomon had this thing set up with a man who talked too much? But when you really look at it, when you really buckle down and check these scriptures out, I'm going to read this again, and see how Solomon put the two together with a big mouth who let him bump their gums. And the reason why I say that you might end up being up under a vow or a covenant is because all you're doing is talking. Somebody might say something to you, I'm like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever. And turn around and be up under some covenant or some vow. Now, I'm going to read verses 2. Verse 2 says, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth, and therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. So if you keep on talking, you ain't paying attention to what you're saying because you constantly keep talking. And you might end up with ain't no telling what you said. Somebody might would have came past me, like, hey, man, you could be over here with this right there. You came with that. Yeah. Constantly talking. Back talking. And turn around, you messed that whole vowel up. It could be anything when you start talking and you just japping off at the mouth. Because now you made that vow that you would do something, you can't do it. Because you're not even aware of the things that you're saying because you constantly keep talking. And then it turned around and said, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, that means you're slacking in it. Defer is like slacking. Defer not to pay it, for he have no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. So be careful. Let your words be few. Don't be always bubbling up your mouth and talking, because it go both ways. When you're not talking so much, you're able to see who your friends truly are. You'll be able to find out who's the liar. You'll find out who's the thief. You're going to find out who's the adulterer. You're going to find out who's the fool. You're going to find out who's the contentious man. You're going to find out who is the debater, who like to call strife and debate. You're going to also find out those who let us smack their fists with the spite and debate. But in order for you to find out any of these things, you got to be careful of who you are surrounded around. And that's how you are able to identify a fool. And I thank y'all for y'all time. Things over to Job and Sister Rhea. All praises. Amen. Great reading, Brother McCormick.
Amen.
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 My daughter
told me something when I was hot. Oh, we can't hear you. Who's talking?
Break it up.
Hey, we can't hear you, bro.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me now?
Yes,
is that okay? Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right. Right.
it is. No, what I was getting at is that my dad used to tell him, well, we used to have our talks and whatnot, but he said, man, just, you know, before you say anything, man, just think before you say something. You know, because even a fool, you know, nobody know you're stupid until you open up your mouth.
Yeah.
Something like that there, you know, so that taught me, man, you know, to pay attention to your surroundings and look who's running their mouth. You know, also, you know, just being out there in the world, that made you the quiet one in the group, so to say. You know what I mean? So you became the curiosity.
How?
That thing is wisdom. Another thing is what the father referred to wisdom is that being slow to speak, quick to hear.
Right.
And we look at that spirit being exercised to a T with Job and his three brothers. We see that spirit being exercised to a T. Neither one of them cut each other off until they heard each other out. Then they answer each individual according to what they asked or said. That's how brothers with understanding are supposed to interact with each other, other than just blurting out things in your mind or running off at the mouth. Like you said, a fool is known by a multitude of words. So when you look at that illustration between Job and his four brothers, you see that. And then God righteously judged. Even Elihu testified to that. He said, I held my peace. That's what he means. Be quick to hear, slow to speak. Quick to learn, so forth. You know a fool is all over the place with it. So, man, Jude, this is almost heartbreaking. You know, because if the shoe fit, we. And then the other thing is you can't even testify that that person is a fool because you say if you call one, it's so bad you can't even call nobody a fool. You be in danger of the judgment by even using that term on somebody else. That's how bad a fool is. Or to even use that word on somebody else. This should have been done a long time ago. A long time ago. Amen to this, Jew. Are you the mic?
Amen.
So, okay.
But not even.
Too long. Oh, good lesson, brother. Good lesson. Two good principles here that make you recognize these type of things. And one is no understanding in talking too much. The good principles is dealing with people with understanding and not talking too much. And these are things, if you a person of God, if you're a real person that really deal with these things, it make you recognize people that is fools and things of that sort. Saying, just like me reading tonight, y'all probably think it's kind of crazy that I don't ever say nothing when I read. You know why? Because I'm practicing not talking. I'm not the teacher. I'm the reader. Even my first teacher told me, readers read, readers don't talk. And then you can understand, like, you brought out a very good scripture tonight. I'm not talking. I'm not doing that. I'm just paying attention to it. And I was able to write scripture down and focus on what's being said. But you can't do that if you're trying to talk at the same time. If you're a reader and you're trying to talk or you're saying words and bring things out, readers should just read. So these are great principles, and they make you recognize people that is not dealing on that way. If God gave you something to say, guess what? He'll put you in a position to have opportunity to say it. And people will receive it because they'll understand that what you got to say is of understanding and not understanding. But some people speak just to be heard with no understanding. They, whenever opportunity to speak, they take every opportunity to speak. That's what I'm saying. You better understand what you're dealing with when somebody always has to speak and always has to bring something with no true understanding. So I really like this lesson because these are two great principles that I deal with on a constant. I'm a person that's very quiet. The other thing I like about the understanding is I can't barely talk to anyone. You know what I'm saying? If you got true understanding, everybody don't want to hear the things that if your personal understanding got to talk about. They want to talk about other things. So there's not a lot of people I can even have conversations with because most people don't want to hear the things that I'm talking about because I'm talking about real things in deep things. So love this. Love the two principles, dealing with understanding and not talking too much. With that, I yield the mic.
Amen, Jim. All praises. We have Sister Rhea. When that Sister Rhea, and next, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say something. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay. So when you were doing this lesson, I was just thinking about how the word fool, how a lot of us use that word foolishly, but loosely. And then now reading the definitions and the definitions and synonyms, how you don't even have to call somebody a fool. You can think that they're a fool in the privacy of your own mind, and you can show that in your actions of how you're treating them. And then you become a fool as well because of how you're treating them, because you think they're a fool, and you were once a fool or still are a fool. With that definition and those synonyms, I was like, ouch, ouch, all over the place, because I might not have done one or two of them, but during this feast, I have did probably ouch, ouch, two. I'm going to say that. Maybe there's more. I don't know. So I was like, ouch, ouch, because I may not have said you fool or they're fools or they're being foolish or, you know, whatever, but my body language, you know, or maybe I might have said something on the sidelines, you know, or made a statement. So we got to be really careful. That's why we have to die daily. We have to read this word daily. I was just telling my husband last night, I thank the Lord for the Sounds of Living Water ministry because me and him definitely have to be on 6 nights a week. We have to run the board. We have to make sure everything's running smoothly, try our best. So that's really keeping me grounded and really making me look at myself. And these past couple of months, I've been really able just to spend a lot more time with the Father. And I don't like a lot of things that I see. I like some of the things, but I just thank him for this time that he's allowing me to look at myself. And I just say thank you, because I say it for this lesson, because I was just like, oh, my God, you know, I'm thinking that I'm keeping the best, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Passover, and, you know, doing the best I can. And actually, I was thinking foolishly, being foolish, and looking at other people's foolishness and discussing that and talking about it, you know. So, Lord, forgive me. I'm glad this is the last night, but, you know, I got a lot of work to do. And, oh, my goodness. Just thank you. Thank you. I'm going to really, now I'm probably not going to be able to sleep all night and then keep my king priest up all night. You just showed me a lot of things, you know. And then just looking at people, how they're treating one another during this feast season, seems like it's a lot of madness, like high madness going on. I'm seeing people on Facebook or people calling me and people tripping at the feast and being, you know, just mean and belligerent and greedy. And, you know, and then everybody, you know, with these high days saying you're wrong and you're right. And, you know, where's the love, you know, even at the feast, you know, people are like, how long is the feast? How many hours are we going to be here? You're late. You were supposed to be here an hour and a half ago. You know, you said 7, it's 8. You know, what did our forefathers do back in the day when they kept the feast? When they kept the feast, they enjoyed one another. Some people traveled far to see their brother, and they were happy that it was the Lord's feast day. They celebrated. They were like, shoot, I haven't seen you all year. Thank God I made it to the next feast. And they were joyous. There was no time restrictions. Now we're putting time restrictions on everything. Now everybody can't learn to just love one another, get to know one another, fellowship with one another. Then it's got to be a fashion show. And then it's who made the best food. It's just craziness. It's just it's getting wicked. It's getting wickeder to me. So I feel so terrible right now for just being foolish, and thinking that people are foolish in my mind instead of just, if I can't help them think better, do better, then just leave it alone. Just say, Lord, have mercy on their soul. They don't know. They don't know, Jesus. Help them to see, hopefully, before it's too late. And say that to myself, within myself, and don't discuss how I feel with other people around me, because then that will cause them to sin. Now, what have I done? Or telling my personal business how I feel, and then that will cause them to think about it and sin. And then some people, when you tell them your personal business, then they take that and they use it for their gain. So I'm just learning a lot of things. I thank the Father for the opportunity to listen to you, brothers. You brothers are bringing it. You're bringing it. You can tell the Holy Spirit is with you. I thank the Most High God for you, brothers. I pray for you guys all the time. And with that, I yield.
Amen, amen, amen. That was great peace. You know what? Matter of fact, before I say anything, do anybody else have anything else they would like to say? The lines are muted.
All the lines are unmuted.
All right. Well, okay. I'm gonna make sure that's something we're working on too. Not saying anything and letting everybody give the input on the precept or add anything to the lesson. That's one thing I want to work on. Making sure I'm not talking. And everybody, give everybody that fair shot and chance to say what they want to say and put on the table. But, just piggybacking on what you said, Sister Rhea, the stuff that we see, that scripture's being revealed. That's scriptures. Those are scriptures being revealed in our very eyes and our face. Because the scriptures don't say anything in vain. The Bible said the righteous is scarcely saved. Some people go get it, some people not go get it. It hurt and it's sad, but I thank God that we at least have each other. Got Joe, got you, Sister Rhea, Brother Nakomi, Sister Mary, Keith and Brother Miles, what I'm saying? And the rest of the brothers and sisters that tuned in on the Blog Talk Show, But through the grace of God, I'm humble and I'm thankful that God at least allowed us to understand it because, I was wondering, just doing some back thinking, I was like, the Lord sent me here for a reason, After all the Blog Talk Shows and after everything that was said and done, the Lord put me in a position away from everybody. I live in the middle of nowhere, and he put me in the middle of nowhere to be away from everybody and gave me the Blog Talk Show with you guys. Just by looking at that life, like looking at my lifestyle and that in the story I'm giving you guys, is because what I'm trying to say is that we're blessed, We are very, very blessed. And not saying that we're perfect, we don't have our trials and tribulations. But we're blessed for the simple fact is that we have each other. Even though we probably, I'm far away from you guys and stuff, but we always with one another through spirit. So that was another thing, when I was going to the feast days and stuff like that, to be honest, I did not like going to feast days. I really did not like going to feast days when going to the congregations that I was going to. Because that scripture, I think if you remember it, Brother Job, I know it was in the book of Isaiah about taking the Passover unwillingly. You know, that's a scary thing, and it's sad because a lot of us take the Passover unwillingly with little stank, funk-ass, pissy attitudes, you know, ungrateful all the damn time, no patience, you know, and it's like when you don't see those fruits of the Spirit, this kind of make you want to ball up in the corner and just really ask yourself, why am I here? So that's why I thank God that we at least, that the Father at least allow us to come together on a blog talk show, because God is revealing and showing us people's spirits. What kind of spirit is on them? You know, all we can do is teach it. After we teach it, it's out of our hands. Because the Lord described righteous men. And when he described a righteous man, he said they can't do nothing but save themselves. You know? And so all we, and you know, and that's the same thing with us. You know, we teach this thing and we try our best to do it, but we can only save ourselves. All we can do is do the best we can to get the folly out of our heart and follow the commandments to the best of our ability. But at the same point in time is, I think the Father in Jesus' name, that he at least allow us to have one another. That's gold plus. So when things get bad and rough, that's what I like to think about. I like to think about we have each other. And as long as we have one another, hey, through the grace of God, we all might be walking to the wilderness together. So regardless of the beginning or not, let's just thank God we have one another. And I get a mic with that.
Amen.
Amen, Jew. All right, well, hey, brothers, like I said, that's another pet. Hey, man, let's put it like this. That's another chapter. That's another chapter in that Hubert's knowledge. You dig?
Amen.
There is.
Amen.
There is. That's that Hubert's knowledge, man, that fool. Ooh. Man. Oh, my God.
Amen.
There you go, brother. See that? That's that thing, man. The Lord be talking about, he give us good doctrine. That's not a lesson. That's part. That's a doctrine. Ooh. That you was knowledge is a beautiful thing from the Lord, boy. Love it. I love it, man. Once again, in the Comey, great reading. Happy Sabbath. Happy Feast Unleavened. Hoping the Lord has blessed the feast days. We got to pray for our brother Tazaki. You know, he's facing a couple of 2 years or whatever for that, you know, for what he did. But, you know, hey, it's part of the thing. It's just all a part of this, what Israel do. We all got to learn that 501c3. It's nothing to play with. You know what I mean? So he going up for robbing the country. Through the 501c3. It's a learning process. Everybody learning. But he ain't going to get nothing but a couple of 2 or 3 years. Plus time served already. All we do, well, we pray for him. I hope the Father deliver him. And hope everybody, this is a learning thing. You know.
Mm-hmm.
It's the unleavened bread, man. This is last night. But to whom it may concern, this is the 21st day of Abib. This is really it, man. So I just hope and pray everybody learns something, man, that it's lesson in all of us. You know, and we ought not to take, you know, ourselves so seriously, because that's leavening. He said, if you esteem another above yourself, then that's unleavened. If you have that spirit of charity, that's unleavened, because charity puffeth not, nor boasts himself, nor is puffed up. See, that's the kind of life you're supposed to be designed, man. You know what we really living in? It's on the Day of Atonement. You want to be unleavened? You know what unleavened feel like? Petitioning the Lord to forgive your sins for 24/7. That's unleavened. Now, Once we do that, the Lord has shown us we can do that every day. That's taking on the unleavened spirit. We can do it. But all this we were saying, you know, all this, is that's called immaturity. And hopefully we just hope and pray people grow. And like my brother said, some of us may never get it.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, at least we're in the starting gate. We all was at the feast, right?
Amen.
Hey, you can't call God a lie, man. He said, in a house of God, there are vessels of honor and dishonor.
Amen.
You got gold. You got silver.
Amen.
Right.
Then you got brass. And then you got copper. And then you got iron. Then there's your wood.
Amen.
So forth.
Amen.
But all of them at the feet. So, love one another. Keep loving one another. We keep praying that the Father keep delivering us and keep allowing us to enjoy the feast all the way to the kingdom. That being said, man, I hope everybody had a beautiful 11 week, man. I'm so serious. And I had a really great, great time. I enjoyed my family and Sister Mary and Denise. Smooches, hug. I couldn't get enough of them. Oh, my God.
Brother Gary, he was sick. And he
man, he still came through like a champ. Oh, man.
Oh,
you know that.
Night.
Yep. But, you know. The Father was trying spirits, man. He's trying.
Yeah. Ooh, big time.
Yeah. He's trying. You can't take the Passover in malice, and that spirit was
everywhere.
It was everywhere.
Yeah, Joe, what was there, bro, about taking it? I know it was in the book of Isaiah, but that scripture talking about taking Passover unworthily.
Unworthily.
Yeah, unworthily.
Unworthy. That's in 1 Corinthians. I don't know, that sound like 8, 9, or 10, something like that. Let me see. Yeah, unworthy. Unworthy. Taking a Passover unworthily or something like that.
First Corinthians, let me see.
You know, you drink damnation to yourself, and some even sleep. Yep, you can bring damnation on yourself. Yeah, that's a real heavy set, man. We got to check our spirits because the enemy know what he's doing.
1 Corinthians 11 and 29.
Oh, you got it?
Yes, bless me. 1 Corinthians 11 and 29. 1 Corinthians 11 and 29.
Amen.
Amen.
I was way off. What did I say?
For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body.
Mm.
Continue.
For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep.
See, Lord will put you down, man. That spirit will get you in the dirt.
Mm.
See that? We be thinking, man, we take the Most High blood, man. We like it's light. We'll argue over Hennessy more than we consider his blood. You see, this thing here, man, this is a serious conversation because he said you better discern this, man, because you can end up in a hospital. He'll drop an affliction on you. All because you're not considering, he said, 28, but let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthy, Lee eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body, which is the Most High and Holy. Damnation. Let's run that word right quick. Yeah, a couple of minutes.
What are you going to now, baby?
Oh, damnation. Yeah, damnation. Yeah. Okay. The act of damning, or the condition of being damned. The condemnation to everything, punishment, doom. Everlasting punishment. Failure or reunion sort of thing. That's what this word is saying. Incurred by adverse criticism. It said the act of damning, the state of being damned, cause or the incident of being damned, exclamation of anger, disappointment, etc. It says, God means of destroying sinners on that wise. So we got to be careful.
Amen.
The Lord will consider, like we read earlier, he said, I never knew you. We don't want to have that conversation. A lot of us is going to get surprised. I may be surprised. You may be surprised.
Amen.
But this is this thing, man. We better consider ourselves and the blood that we think that we are drinking it worthy.
Amen.
Man, forget the next dude. What about you?
Amen.
Man. Big ups, man. Everybody, Godspeed. Hope everything worked out through the feast. So with that being said, tomorrow night, we'll be back here. Again, Sound of Living Waters, Commonwealth of Israel. Commonwealth of Israel, let's see. All right, yeah. We're going to be dealing with be ye not of the world. Right?
Amen.
Alone. Be ye not of the world. That's tomorrow evening.
Amen.
We want to cover those things. Why you shouldn't be of the world.
Amen.
Why you aren't of the world. Why it's impossible for you to even be in the world. Okay? So, that being said, once again, we want to thank our brother Isaiah Brown, the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study
Class.
Does
anyone else have anything to say?
Say again?
Does anyone else have anything to say?
Does anyone else have anything they'd like to say before we close out? Okay. All right.
Hey, Sugar.
What?
He's just playing. Hey, Sugar, you talking about what?
Right. Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Joe. Right. I'm sorry. I'm
good, man. You know what? Don't do that again. Don't ever do that again. Love you, bro. Man, it's the Sabbath, y'all. Hey, if y'all want to get your chocolate cake, you know, tonight.
What?
I was thinking about making my own, really.
Are you seriously thinking about a chocolate cake?
I'm so serious about making my own chocolate cake.
I mean, you could do that, baby, but are you really thinking about getting a piece of cake right now?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That was fast.
No, I'm talking about making my own cake.
I know. That was still fast.
What do you mean?
I've
been thinking about a chocolate cake for a minute. And I didn't get any ice cream. Anyway. tomorrow, meaning out of the world. Okay?
Amen.
All right. So with that being said, I want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone, as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters.
Read your Bible, people. Read your Bible, people. Happy Sabbath. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Which is the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.